I had two messages prepared for today. One for if the Cowboys and Chiefs won, and the other for if the Cowboys and Chiefs lost. And so they lost, so turn to the book of Job. To be followed by the book of Revelation. No, just kidding. If you have your Bible with you, turn to Philippians chapter 4. And just once again, just so grateful for what God did through the Activate Week. I believe that that's here to stay, a week of prayer and fasting to kick off our new year. We'll try to bring special voices and people in to speak to us and encourage us in the things that God's doing in the life of our church as we head into a new year. So mark your calendars for the second Sunday of next year. I think we're going to really just believe God to help us to make that happen. And the week of prayer and fasting, God just was so faithful and gracious to do like he always does and just respond to our faith. As we were drawing near to him and pressing into him and crying out to him, he was just so faithful. Just in my life, he just was speaking things and just building my faith, and hope the same was true for you. And God, I just get a strong sense God is laying foundations in our lives and in our church for some big things that he desires to do in us and through us. And it's all connected to more of Jesus. More of Jesus. In 2017, as we go into a new year, we think about all the things we can do better. We make resolutions. And man, if there's anything else you can resolve yourself to, it's more of Jesus. All the other things, all the other stuff just begins to line up and take care of itself. And some of the things that God spoke to my heart through that week of prayer and fasting is he just spoke to me and he said, it's a year of drawing near, growing closer, and going deeper. Of our hearts becoming more fully devoted to God, more of Jesus in our lives. He's calling us to new levels or fresh levels of passion for Jesus and compassion for his people that I believe are going to usher in a wave of revival. Those two things are critically important. Passion for Jesus, that the world, there's an antichrist spirit in the world. You can talk about God, but you begin to mention the name of Jesus and people begin to bristle at it. And I was so grateful and thankful to see recently that in the prayers that went out over our nation just on Friday, that the name of Jesus was referenced. That was significant and worth celebrating, regardless of what you think about politics. Passion for Jesus and compassion for people. There's some people that are real serious about God, but they're not so happy about serving and ministering and blessing people. And God's calling us to yoke those two things together, where we're passionate about God and passionate about Jesus. And we're moved by our compassion for people that are lost and hurting or separated from God and separated from spiritual family. And it compels us to begin to serve and to reach out in Jesus' mighty name. And so in our eldership and in our staff and in our church, God's moving and God's stirring faith. And one of the practical things that we're going to continue to do, believe that some of the things God would speak and lead us to and activate, we would continue to walk in. So this thing that we did this morning of celebrating lives that are changed and touched by Jesus, we're going to continue to do that as God highlights the timing to do it. But one of the things we're going to do is continue to meet for prayer. There's prayer groups that are gathering and that are organizing that you'll have information available to you beginning next week in rally weeks. But on Wednesdays, we know one of the values of our church is dream big, start small. Maybe sometimes there are prayer times scheduled all throughout the week, morning, noon, and night, like we did that first week. But the part of the stepping out into it is we're going to continue to open up the church for prayer on Wednesday at noon. And I'm going to be there as often as my schedule allows me to. Pastor Eli will be there. We'll be leading it. And we want to ask you to come and join with our staff and join with other people. Make it part of your week. Make it part of your schedule if you in any way can, to just come and pray with us, to call upon God and cry out to God for our church, our city, and our nation. On Wednesdays at noon, Jesus said, can you tarry an hour with me? And this is our way of just responding, saying, God, we'll be praying all throughout the week, but that hour we're dedicating to you. And so let me just encourage you. Maybe you consider even fasting lunch that day and just coming and giving that time and that energy to crying out with us in prayer. I understand some of you won't be able to make it because of schedules and you commute back and forth or whatever, but if at all possible, we would love to have you here. And it's just part of priming an atmosphere of faith, for God to do miracles, for revival to begin to happen in an increased measure in our church and in our city, for God for a revival that's characterized by many precious people being saved and healed and set free and strengthened and discipled and equipped to discover God's purposes and plans for their life, to discover what it means, what we talk about often, that God desires for us to live an abundant life, fully alive and shining brightly, for there to be an atmosphere for God to do miracles. Listen, a miracle is anything that we can't do in our own strength. Miracles where people are healed physically, spiritually, emotionally, where people are set free from addiction, strongholds, families and marriages reconciled, people that are weighed down or overcome with depression, fear, anxiety, being set free by God, becoming fully alive and shining brightly in God's purposes for their life in a way that compels us to make a difference in our community. Come on, I believe it. God's, the atmosphere is building and growing. And atmospheres are important in certain places in God's word. In Matthew chapter 12, as an example, it says Jesus healed them all. But then when he found himself in Nazareth, in Mark chapter 6, the atmosphere of that city, it sounds crazy, but read it for yourself. It hindered and limited what Jesus wanted to do. The same Jesus that in some places healed them all. He was in Nazareth, and he says he could only heal a few people. He could do no miracles. And I take a couple things away from that. Most of us would call healing a few people a pretty good day. But for Jesus, there was more that he wanted to do. And there, if you read that passage in Mark chapter 6, there was a commonality and a familiarity that they had towards Jesus. They said, isn't this the carpenter's son? And don't we know his brothers and sisters? And I believe it's part of what God is restoring in our hearts and in our lives and calling us to be leaders and forerunners in our nation. Restoring Jesus back, reverence for God, and restoring Jesus and restoring the priority of God's word and his presence to the place where there's an atmosphere where it's charged, where people are expecting and anticipating what Jesus is going to do in our lives. Atmosphere is important. God's, I'm just testifying to you some things that God's doing in me as we head into 2017. Faith is building for what he desires to do in our midst. And I hope if you've been challenged or if that's not a current present tense reality for you, my prayer is that your heart would begin to just connect to it. That you begin to lean in and lean forward. We want you and we need you to be a part of what God's doing. So as we're talking about revival and we're talking about going deeper in the things of God, you know, sometimes we kind of associate that with getting serious about God. And I get it if we're talking about being serious as it regards being intentional about time with God, time in his word, time in his prayer, drawing near to God. But sometimes we have this kind of idea, this kind of, maybe it's just me, when we talk about getting serious about God and really seeking revival and everything, and we kind of associate it with just like the measure of holiness is kind of relative to the frown on your face. You know, that's kind of a religious idea about what it looks like and means to really get serious about God. And listen, I understand it if it means intentional about seeking God and serving God and being in his word and making time in our schedules. I get it. But I want to tell you, as your pastor, one of the things that I want us to be serious about is enjoying God, enjoying him. Listen, also contrary to popular religious belief, God is not grumpy, and he's not in a bad mood. He's happy, and he's celebrating. Let me show you a few things. He's excited about you. He's excited about what he's done in your life and what he's yet to do. Luke 15:10, I mentioned it earlier. It says this. He's talking about a woman who's lost a coin, and when she finds it, she celebrates, and she calls her friends, and she says, celebrate with me, for I found what was lost. And he said, I tell you the truth. In the same way, there's rejoicing in heaven in the presence of angels over just one person who comes to God. Luke 15:22, just further down in that chapter, the story of the prodigal son. He says, bring the fatted calf, kill it, let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. So they began to celebrate. Listen, God knows how to throw a party. He throws a good party. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 10 says, for the Lord your God is with you. He is a mighty warrior and savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Listen, God's contrary to popular religious belief, God's not grumpy in a bad mood. He's pretty excited about what he's doing in your life. It's the call of God for us. It's the posture from which we live. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And that wasn't strong enough. He says, again, I'll say it. I'll repeat it. I'll reiterate it because it's significant and it's important. Again, I say, rejoice. Listen, in good times and bad, let me tell you, I understand. You might sit there and say, listen, Pastor T, you don't know what I'm going through. And that's true. I don't. But God does. And let me encourage you. This is the promise of God for every season, every situation, every circumstance, to be filled with the joy of God, the joy of our salvation, the joy that is our strength. Listen, sometimes we cannot control the things that we encounter in life. Some of you have been through some real heartaches and hardships. I mean, traumatic things, the loss of family members or children, the financial difficulty. I mean, lots of things that we go through that are really tough. And God's, I really believe God cares, and there's provision for how we grieve through those things. So I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm just saying the bigger all picture, the operating system of our life, the thing that God desires us to quickly reconnect to is the joy of God. It's our strength. Listen, we can't determine some of those things that we go through. Sometimes there's things that we bring upon ourselves through foolish decisions or rebellious living towards God. But then there's other things that we go through, and some of it's just bad stuff that's happening to good people in a fallen world. But let me encourage you with something this morning. We can't always control what we go through, but we can control what we call it. We can control the name that we put on it. Listen, failure. I've had some failure in my life, and I choose to call it a learning opportunity. Embarrassment is a chance for me to grow in humility. My weaknesses are a vehicle for God's strength to be revealed through me in the midst of my weakness. My mistakes are a canvas for God's grace. Listen, I'm telling you, you can't control everything that you go through, but you can control what you decide to call it. Delay, when you're believing for something to come to pass and there's delay in your life. God, I've been dreaming and believing for that thing to happen in my life. Instead of calling it delay, you can trust in God that it's a season of preparation because of the magnitude of what he desires to do in your life. Disappointment is God's protection. I'm disappointed. I really wanted that to happen. Trust it's God's protection. He's keeping you for something better. It's God's protection, and it's his better planned connection. Trials, troubles, and tests. Listen, they're opportunities for God to show up. There are opportunities for a testimony. You can't get the testimony without the test. You can't even spell it without test. Listen, James 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. Listen, in fact, when we face challenges, that's when we need joy. Nehemiah 8:10 says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, it's spiritual strength, living from the position of joy. In God, the joy of your salvation, it's spiritual strength. And if it's spiritual strength, when you realize that you're not living in a condition of joy, you're in a weakened state. You're in a weakened condition. Listen, when your joy is dependent upon external circumstances, it can easily be stolen, taken, or covered up. And when we allow, hear me this morning, when we allow the circumstances that we allow to steal our joy in God, is a standard that the enemy then begins to attack us in. Whatever it takes for you to lose your joy, hear me, I mean, whatever it takes, whatever kind of opposition, whatever kind of resistance, whatever level of disappointment that we allow to steal my joy, it creates a standard for the enemy to know, hey, that's about what I gotta do to get that person in a weakened condition. That's the kind of thing. And so the enemy, he has no power. He has no victory. He's defeated. The cross has the final word. But the Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion. He's roaring. He doesn't have teeth. He can't, he's toothless. You know, Jesus took the keys. Jesus took the authority. Jesus gave us the keys and the victory. The victory is secure, but he's still going around and he's roaring. He's seeking to intimidate. He's speaking into your life. He's threatening. He's intimidating you to cause you to shrink back from the promises of God and to cause you to live in a weakened condition where you're not walking in the fullness of the joy of God. So here's some steps as we try to close. I want to close just here in a few minutes. We had a lot to go on this morning. Who will give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Thank you for that, guys. All right, these are some steps. And by the way, this is a message you're going to hear me preach. I think I'll preach this message every year because it's a value of our church. And it's important. It's strategic. I mean, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The things that God's called you to, he wants you to be strengthened to get there. And operating in the joy of God and the joy of your salvation is part of how you'll get there. Number one, value it. Value it. Listen, if Jesus needed it to fulfill his purpose, so will you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. There's going to be some things that you have to walk through and persevere and endure. It's why you have to keep in front of you. If Jesus had to keep in front of him the promises of God and the purpose of God and the bigger picture of what God was doing, you better believe that you and I are going to have to do the same. Number two, protect it. Protect it. Listen, we protect what is important to us. We guard what is valuable to us. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Another translation, I love the way it says it. It says, guard your heart, for it will determine the direction of your life. We value what's important to us. We protect what's important to us. And listen, some of us need to put passwords. We password protect things that are important to us. We password protect our bank accounts and those kind of things. And some of us need to password protect the joy that we're walking in our life. And can I just encourage you this morning can I just give you a couple of just ideas, suggestions for the password to your heart? I think one good one would be spelled like this, Forgiven. Everyone get that? Did I spell it correctly? Forgiven. That's a great password to just put on your heart, man. The enemy tries to come after you. You're like, man, I'm forgiven. Listen, I'm not telling you to go and change your password on your computer to forgiven. If you do, like, use a dollar sign or something in there with it, you know? But it wouldn't be the worst thing for you to type out 4, 5, 10 times a day. How about redeemed? How about healed? Password protect. We guard and we protect the things that are valuable to us. We lock our home and we lock our car, we lock our valuables. But then a lot of times the thing that God's done in our life, we don't esteem it in the same way as some of the temporal treasures that we hold in our hand. And God's calling us today to begin to see it differently and begin to password protect and begin to fervently protect and fiercely defend the work of God in our hearts. Guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. And listen, if you want to know how to guard your heart, God's word connects your heart to your thoughts. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So God's word in 2 Corinthians says, cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity the thoughts into obedience to Christ. Listen, when I find myself, I'm just talking about myself, when I find myself beginning to lose my joy, the joy of God, I can almost always, almost inevitably, it's because I've allowed some ungodly thing, a challenge, a temptation, a doubt, a worry, a fear, to have unhealthy priority in my mind. Almost every time. If when I realize I'm anxious, I'm depressed, I'm fearful, I'm worried, almost every time I've allowed something to take an unhealthy position of priority in my thought life. Protect it. Number three, secure the source. Secure the source. Listen, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, right? It's an outward manifestation of an inward work that God does in us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Let me just share something with you this morning. Fruit is perishable. Fruit is perishable. Listen, God, there's something about daily bread. When God provided for the people of Israel in a miraculous way, he provided a daily provision of manna for them. And when they tried to store it up for future days, with the exception of the Sabbath, when they tried to store it up for themselves for future days, it would rot and it would not fulfill its purpose. It would not bring the nourishment and life that the daily manna would bring. There's something about daily connecting to God. There's a daily connection. There's a daily outpouring. There's a daily allotment. There's a daily distribution of joy that God wants to bring into your life. Secure the source of that joy. Jesus is the source. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Come on, I don't know about you, but I want to bear a lot of fruit. I want to bear a lot of fruit. We stay connected. We secure the source. Chet, would you just go ahead and come up here? Just Chet. I think we'll just close with that this morning. And you know, when they would build castles in medieval times, one of the most significant things that they would do is they would either find a place where there was a water source, a well, a spring, and they would build the castle in that place around that well or that spring. Or if there wasn't that kind of a source available, one of the longest parts of the construction of that castle was the digging of that well, the getting down, the creation of that cistern to get down into the water. And they did it because one of the key elements of the enemy of that kingdom was to come and to try to pollute the source of life for the people that dwell behind the gates. And so if the source of water, if the well, if the cistern was outside the gates, they could either be cut off or it could be poisoned. A lot of times they would throw a decomposing body or something into it to try to pollute it and try to kill off the flow of life into the community that they were attacking. Secure the source. Listen, the deeper the source of your joy is, the harder it is for the enemy to corrupt it. And if your joy is in temporal, external, exterior things, the joys and the pleasures of this world, come on, that joy is easy to be stolen. It's here one moment, it's gone the next. And the enemy is always lying and saying, if you just had this, if you just were with this person, if you just had a different wife, if you just this and that, he's always like a roaring lion. He's roaring and he's roaring and he's roaring and he's roaring. Listen, the deeper the place that you find your peace, your source of strength, your joy, the harder it is for the enemy to take it. Lastly, and I want to close by giving you some hope this morning. If you find yourself in a weakened condition, if you've seen that your joy has been stolen or taken, number four is understand it can be restored. The psalmist in Psalm 51 said this, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Restore to me the joy of when I was experiencing and encountering the life of Jesus, the freedom of Jesus." Come on, I haven't always been a preacher. I was once a lost, rebellious young man living for my own ways, pursuing my own thoughts and ideas about how I should live my life. And I remember what it felt like for God to come into my life and invade that white Chevy pickup truck on that old dusty road in West Texas and begin to just heal me and set me free and shower his love upon me and show me that he had a plan and a purpose for my life. And so when I start to drift from that, I say, God, remind me. Help me to live from that position. I love what Robert Morris says. He says, I live the way that I live because I haven't gotten over being saved. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to me that place where I'm mindful of what you did, that you took a dirty, separated, sinful heart, and you made it clean, and you reconciled it and restored it and made it whole and connected it to a good God that has a good plan for a good future for his sons and his daughters. Would you stand to your feet this morning? And I just want to give you some opportunities. We've run a few minutes later than we normally intend to, and so, but I don't want to move so quickly that you don't have an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit. And so right now, I would just say, if there's anything in your life, if you've realized that there are temporal things that you've been pursuing, if you realize this morning that there are things that you've found your joy in that are not rooted in God, anything other than Jesus, I just want to give you some space in just a moment or two before we dismiss to just do business with God. Holy Spirit, thank you. You're gracious and you're kind, you're loving. You just want to lead us into your best. Come on, repentance is not a bad word. Repentance just means turning our heart and turning our mind and turning from some things and turning to God. If there's any areas like that where you've put your trust, your hope, you found your joy and your peace from and other than Jesus this morning, just repent. Thank you, God, for just showing us. You love us so much. Thank you, God. If there's some ways that you can determine and make a commitment to make Jesus in a more determined, intentional way, the source of your life, the source of your strength, the source of your peace, the source of your joy this morning, just ask God, show me some things. Remind me of some things. For some of you, maybe it's a reminder. For some of you, it's a revelation. It's something new. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on, he's just speaking to people's hearts this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. How can I better guard my heart and guard my mind from those thoughts? How can I stay connected to the vine? How can I encourage others, my kids, my spouse, the people around me to live this kind of a life? How can God use us, God? How can we be used of God to help people discover the joy that comes from salvation? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lastly, I want to give you the opportunity to discover joy, perhaps in a new way. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, come on, he loves you so much. He came for you. He came for you, and this is an opportunity for you to experience that love and that forgiveness and that mercy and that grace. He washes away our sin and our failures and our shortcomings to give us a new life. But the main thing is God just wants to have a relationship with you. God, he wants to clean all that stuff off of your life and out of your heart so that you can begin to exist in a relationship with you and connect to good things and purposes and plans that he has for your life. If that's you this morning, I just want to know who we're praying for this morning. Would you just lift your hand in faith in the air and just say, that's me this morning. Thank you, God, for these precious people. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies. Thank you, God, for new life over these precious people. Would you just pray with me, pray along with me? Maybe you want to repeat it in your heart this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the risen life of Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity for a fresh start and a new life. I repent of my sins. I give you my heart. I give you my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Come on, some people gave their hearts to Jesus this morning. That's worth celebrating. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. We can do better than that. That's worth celebrating with a shout of praise. Thank you, God. Well, I want to ask our prayer team to begin to make the way forward as we prepare to dismiss you this morning. And if there's anything in your life, if you raised your hand this morning to give your heart to Jesus, would you come and would you allow one of these precious people to take your hand and to pray with you? If there's any challenge you're facing in your life, if there's a sickness or there's some kind of a discouragement, maybe it's in your life, maybe it's in the life of a loved one or a friend, we believe that we indeed serve the God of miracles and the cross has the final word. And prayer is a way to activate our faith to release the will of God in our life. So would you come and allow us to pray with you this morning? Otherwise, God bless you. Come on, let the celebration continue this afternoon in your life. Let the joy of your salvation be your strength today and every day this week. Amen. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you. We love you.